Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by thanking you for being amazing human beings, an amazing community. We love the support that you give us on iTunes with all the good reviews and subscriptions and ratings, all the subscriptions and thumbs up on the YouTube channel. If you're on YouTube, make sure you check out the podcast. If you're on the podcast, check out YouTube. No matter where you're at, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. All of our content, free, paid, everything you need basically to grow your cleaning company is there. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, you absolutely need growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out. Today, we are chatting with Sarah Oler from Sparkles Maids. Sparkles Maids has been serving the Houston, Texas area with residential cleaning since 2011. If you want to reach out to Sarah and her team, you can hold them at www.sparklesmaids.com. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. What are you doing on the show? How did you find Cleaning Nation, and what made you reach out or respond to us reaching out? Walk me through it, sister. What's going on? How did we meet?
So, my husband got a new iPhone 7, and he started playing around with it, found the podcast app, and started going through it. He found you guys. He introduced it to me after he had probably listened to five of them. And he's like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. You have to listen. And I got hooked, and I've been listening ever since. And then I guess he started signing up and subscribing, and Natalie reached out to him, and then I reached out to her, and I wanted to be on the Facebook fun too. And it's been that now here we are.
Cool. Well, so glad. Love having loyal listeners get to be on the show. And it's fun because a lot of stuff that we talk about that is new to people that aren't familiar with the show, Sarah's like, I already know all that. So we can go right to the advanced stuff. Cool. Well, shoot, let's just jump right in. What's going on in your world? How can I help you today?
Well, I really am struggling with how to keep our employees motivated and from them expecting us also to be out there cleaning with them.
Okay, perfect. So the motivation part I get, that's pretty self-explanatory. Them expecting you to be out there, so I make sure I understand and listeners understand. It sounds like they are grousing or grumping when they're cleaning and you're not helping them. They expect you guys as the owner should be helping them, not doing whatever it is you're doing.
Right. After a while, not at first, but as time goes on, you kind of start feeling it.
Okay, let me address that one first because it makes me angrier than the first question. The second question will be nice and friendly. We'll hold hands and sing. The first one, I'm just going to yell and scream and hopefully get you fired up. So that is indicative of a bigger problem. If you've got employees thinking, "What the heck? You should be cleaning," blah blah blah. That there's a cancer in the relationship that we need to fix. Right. So it's not the problem of, you know, hey, we need to solve employees wanting you to clean and have them not want you to clean. To the who on God's green earth do these people think they are that the owner of the company should be dictated, that they should be dictating the owner? That would be like me going to Target and saying, hey, CEO, why aren't you sticking out? You know, like it would just be a ludicrous proposition. Fair?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
So
I did that once.
What? I'm confused. You went to Target and yelled at the CEO?
No, I actually got really upset because it was one of those days and I walked into a Buc-ee's and I said, hey, where's the owner of Buc-ee's? Doesn't he get behind the cash register with you guys? And they were like, no. So yeah, I've had one of those moments.
And they looked at you like you're crazy because you should be crazy. So first and foremost, we got to kill that. And if I'm pretty easy to get along with employees. If you talk to the employees I've had, they would probably say, yeah, Mike's great. He's fun. He's whatever. But, and you go, well, when would you piss him off? Or when would you see him lose his mind? They go, if you violate a core value. For me, my core values are have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And the owner of the company cleaning, doing the work of the company, right? When I owned a car dealership, if I'm out mopping up or, you know, doing the lot attendance job or the detailer's job or the mechanic's job or the accountant's job or any of the other jobs that were out there, all the staff would look at me like I'm crazy. Like, who the hell's running the company, right? So there is a respect of, I trust that this guy is our leader, not a fellow cleaner who happens to have the keys to the building, but this guy's the leader and we give him respect and to help out. And again, I would be the first to clean a toilet. So if the showroom was dirty, before I yell at everyone, I am going to pick up stuff and start freaking out. So it's not that I'm too proud to clean, but myself as well as the rest of the company understands if Mike's cleaning, who's doing the important work of making sure our company's payroll's getting paid and customers are coming in and everything's getting run. So we've got an identity crisis that we've got to fix right away where they understand you're not a fellow cleaner, right? Like my son, my 2-year-old, my 18-year-old is a little different. My 2-year-old understands that dad's fun and we do a lot of good stuff. but it's not a democracy, right? If he wants to eat ice cream for dinner and I want not ice cream for him, right. It's not a debate. He doesn't get to throw a, I mean, he might throw a fit, but it's not going to have any difference. But he understands dad's dad. We can have fun, but he's still dad. The employees have to have the same thing. We love Sarah, but she's the owner. And if they have a problem with that, they got to go. That would be an instant firing for me. If someone gave me any attitude of, why aren't you clean? Why don't you get your ass out here? I go, because I'm writing the checks. If you have a problem, to get out. And I would stare at them until they either said, I'm so sorry, you're right, or gave me attitude. And then I'd say, okay, that was your last second of work. Thank you for your service. Goodbye. But right. We've got to be very clear from the beginning whose job is what. And if they're unhappy with their job, then that's fine. There's lots of other jobs out there they can you can help them seek by freeing up their time and saying, get out of my sight.
Absolutely.
So first and foremost, there needs to be an identity understanding of who you are, what your job is, and what value you bring to the universe. If they were so motivated and qualified to start their own cleaning company, then God bless them, they could do that. But they're obviously not, so they're cleaning, which is fine. There's no shame in that. But I don't mind you being a cleaner, just don't expect owner treatment. And the owner treatment is, hey, when you go home and hang out with your family with no worries because your paycheck cleared, I have to worry about making sure that paycheck clears and making sure there's companies tomorrow and the billing's going in and we've got cash and the insurance is still good and we've got all the cars and on, and the government's paid and on and on and on. That's how this works. So that's the second answer. I don't know if I got as specific, but the specifics we give in the first answer on how to keep them motivated will answer that. Are you with me so far? Or have I been too kind of esoteric?
I'm totally with you.
Okay, cool. Now let's talk about something a little more fun of how to keep them motivated. And the good news is if you keep them motivated, they won't have time to have this nonsense of, why aren't you cleaning? What I really hear when they say, why aren't you cleaning, is we're not happy. This job sucks. We're not afraid that you're going to fire us. So we have the audacity to talk to you like a fellow cleaner as opposed to the owner, mm-hmm. and you're not getting the respect that you need. So that's really the problem. I think that it's insightful that you would say, hey, the employees asked this, why aren't you cleaning? And I want to know how to motivate them. The reality is, it's really the same solution. If they were motivated, they wouldn't be asking you, you're cleaning. The fact that they're asking you, why aren't you cleaning, shows that they're not motivated. So if we fix the motivation problem, the rest should go away. Fair?
Awesome. Yes.
Okay, cool. So first and foremost, it's got to be about something bigger. Right now, I have a feeling, just in the short time that we've spoken, that the value proposition you offer them is, if you give me an hour of your time to do work that is unpleasant and possibly distasteful, I will give you $11 American minus tax. That's the offer. And they're taking you up on that. And quite frankly, it's a terrible offer, right? I'm not knocking you. That's just minimum wage jobs aren't great. And generally, they're not like, hey, sit on the beach and get fed grapes for minimum wage. It's put your hand in this toilet, clean these dishes, pick up that garbage, I don't say menial tasks, but certainly not pleasant tasks that people are like, yippee, let me go jump in and do that.
Right.
So that's the offer that you're giving them. It's a terrible offer. They've had many similar offers in the past of do this crappy job, get treated crappily, and I will give you crappy wages. And they've told that guy to pound sand or bugger off or whatever, whenever that guy or gal disappointed them, because they knew there's always another crappy $10 an hour job around the corner. And if there's not, they'll just go wait in line with the government and they'll get, either way, they're going to get paid and they don't need your nonsense is kind of their perspective. Does that sound fair for your employees or am I totally out of line?
Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Okay. Hopefully they'll say possibly. It. And I think they are saying a little bit with the, hey, old lady, get out here and clean. That's pretty brazen for an employee to tell an owner.
Well, I mean, they haven't said, it's more of a, well, can you help us today? And that kind of thing. And I have helped and I am a sucker. I help a little bit more than I should, not even out there cleaning, but financially, I don't follow through with my write-ups and I'm too friendly, not too friendly, but they want to be friends. And I know that there's a boundary, there's friends, there's friendship and there's business and I've got to separate the two. And so then I get friendly and I help, but then whenever it's time to buck up and say, hey, you know what? You weren't here on time. So I may not write them up, but I'll get on to them. Not ugly, but I'll get on to them and say, hey, the client expected you there at 9:00. You just showed up at 9:00. I cannot have you be late. Then they get cop an attitude, and then that's when things start going wrong. So I ended up being this nice little meek person, and then all of a sudden I had to get tough, and they don't like it, and then that's whenever things start changing.
So nice is fine. Being friend, I'd have lots of employees over to my home. My kids grew up with their kids, and I'm not saying everyone has to do that. I'm just saying that's how I ran my company, worked fine. Here's the line in the sand. when I ask your employees, when does Sarah be a jerk and when is Sarah really nice? They probably say something like, I don't know, sometimes she's just moody and sometimes she's really nice. I can't tell when or why, it's just random because she's, you know, she's moody. What we need is Sarah is the sweetest pie when it comes to me or my family or the customers or loving on me unless and until someone violates our team community. If someone threatens our team and this community that we've built, then she's a mama bear and she freaks out and she is not fun to be around. That's where we need the definitive, and whether it's them that's threatening the community or an outside person, right? You've got a homeowner that's being abusive verbally to one of your employees and you tolerate, not saying that you do. That's when mama bear needs to come out and Sarah's not fun and Sarah does not put up with any crap. So what that could look like is if you've got it about something bigger, if they're not here for the, I will give you 11 American dollars, you give me an hour of half-hearted work and repeat, I have no answer for that. If that's the value proposition we've got, then you're going to get that kind of attitude because it's a terrible deal for them. If, however, you say, this is a community, we are all about having fun, making money, being real, and helping out. We are about something bigger than ourselves. As part of what you do, sure, we have to clean to make this whole thing spin, but you're not here to clean. You're not even here for the 11 American dollars. You are here because John and me and all the people around us, we're all about having fun, making money, being real, and helping out. And you don't get that anywhere else in your life, right? These core values that you already have, I'm not trying to make you have them. You showed up because you have them, right? Almost all of my one-on-one clients share my core values. They're like, man, I try to do my core values, Mike, but they're the same as yours. I'm like, yeah, that's why you're here. If you had different core values or certainly conflicting core values, I wouldn't be a good coach for you. So once they understand they're there for the community and the core values and that the community and the core values wins above everything, right? If and when Sarah, you violate a core value, you don't go, shut up, I'm the boss. You go, you know what? I'm so sorry, folks. That wasn't fun or I wasn't being real with you. And I'm using my core values. Obviously, you have to use your own. Or that wasn't really going to make any of us any money. And I screwed up and I'm sorry. I'd like you to forgive me and I'm going to do better in the future. Fine. So what the shift needs to happen right now, it's, sometimes Sarah's nice and we do whatever we want and she's super nice. And then randomly she gets pissed off, but she's just yelling and doesn't come to anything and she never follows through. And we don't know why or when. So we just act how we want. And sometimes she yells and sometimes she doesn't, but it's totally erratic. We need to make that shift from that to Sarah's nice. I love her. She's the best member of this community. Everyone wants to be around Sarah. Everyone wants to be a part of what we have here. It's special. But when someone threatens that, with an attitude or showing up late or talking badly about a customer or having bad interpersonal relationships with their employees. Whenever someone threatens that community, our core values are shared, kind of why we're all here together. She freaks out and she has no mercy and she falls through 100% of the time.
Right.
I know it sounds like a subtle shift, but that's really it. Foundationally, if I come to work for my 11 bucks, I'm going to be a bad employee because the work's no fun and $11 is not very much money. If I come to work because I love Sarah and I love the vibe, and I don't get that anywhere else in my life, and I happen to get paid as well, now you can motivate. You can't motivate me with 11 bucks because I'm like, screw you, old ladies. I can get 11 bucks anywhere in the world for another crappy job. So that you can't, there's no motivation there. But when you're like, yeah, but you won't have the company parties and you won't be around people that care about you like we care. And you won't be able to be real and have fun. All these things that you love about coming here are all going to go away. Well, now you've got my attention because that's something I can't get anywhere else. So the answer to how to motivate my question and how to motivate my question, the answer to the question, I talk too fast, obviously. The answer to the question, how do I motivate my employees, is make it about something bigger. That something bigger should be your core values. Part of that core value should be acknowledging that you're making other people's lives better, right? We're not just cleaning toilets. We're giving moms time with their kids, right? That's a huge paradigm shift. And you want to find people that already have those core values and stoke that fire within them, not trying to light a fire in people that aren't interested. Once you do that, they're going to understand that the ultimate living out of the core values is you to do your job well, which is keep the community, build systems, give them the support that they need, and that they will be happiest when they ultimately do their job of doing a really good job cleaning and bringing those core values to your customers. Enough information, too much information, helpful, not helpful. Give me some feedback.
Definitely useful, definitely helpful. When we go into an interview, I definitely throw all that out there. I think what I'm not doing is stressing how maybe the job can be exhausting sometimes, tiresome, that kind of thing. And so it's more of a tired, I'm tired. And that's where I see the motivation loss. I see some of the quality of cleans going down. I'm very big on, building relationships with clients and also employees. You have happy employees, you have happy clients, and vice versa.
How many hours a week are your typical employees working?
About 25, 30 hours.
That's 25, perfect. 30 hours. Yeah, 30 is a little on the high end, but it's well within, you know, if it's 40, 45, that's your problem. There's too many hours. 25 to 30 is the right amount of hours. It's definitely the motivation. So you said they're getting there, they're tired. So again, that's where I think a lot of times in the cleaning business, we are so afraid to have to hire someone because we don't have a good system to attract good enough client or good enough employee or clients usually. Right. So we put up with a lot more crap than we need. I feel like we don't want to be codependent, right? Like hopefully my wife stays with me because she loves me and she feels her life's better. I mean, obviously she made a commitment, but aside from that, I don't want her to be like, I hate his guts, but I made a commitment, so I'll stay. I want her to feel like my life is better with this guy. He loves me and he cares for me and he puts me above him. I want to be here. A much better relationship than, well, I stood in front of God and witnesses and said I'd never leave, so I'm here, jerk. What do you want from me? Same with the employees. We want to make sure that we love them and care about them in such a way where they are excited and motivated to work and they want to be a part of it, not that we're beating them. I do think if they're only working 20 to 25 hours or 25 to 30 hours a week, it's definitely a motivation issue and probably a core values issue, right? Core values is not something like have fun. People always say, I tell people we're fun. I'm like, you don't tell people you're fun. You are fun. So same with the core values. We don't tell people in the interview, by the way, here are core values. When they got your ad should be so full of your core values. They're like, oh my gosh, this ad's different than every other ad that I've seen. They're all about having fun and making money and being real and helping out. Every other ad's about paid training, been in business for 20 years, you know, member of the Better Business Bureau, all this nonsense that everybody else says. They're like, oh my gosh, this ad's different, right? Because you're speaking to their core values. And then when they go to your website, the website is the same thing. And then when they come to the first interview, it's all about the core values. And when you hire them, it's still about the core values. And on day one, when they ask you any question, you answer with the core values. You're like, okay, this is consistently it. So you got to make sure the core values aren't just something that you mention at hire. But if you never told me your core values, but I saw your hiring ad, went to your website, came to the interview, got hired, worked for you for 2 or 3 days, I could probably guess pretty close, even if no one told me what your core values are, because you're living them throughout every step of the way. But if you live them through no step of the way and every step go, by the way, we're really fun here. Like, that's not helpful. Just be fun and they'll get it, right? yeah. Okay, good. So any other questions or follow-ups before we hit the lightning round and I shut up and give you the opportunity to contribute?
I think I'm good. I think I have a good idea of what I'm going to move forward with and keep working on my hiring post. So
fantastic. All right, let's hit the light and feel free to share that in the Facebook group if you want and get some feedback from the community. All right, lightning round. I'm going to ask you 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've ever received is save and keep in front of your clients. Even when you're not out there cleaning anymore, don't start laxing and getting away from that and not calling them and checking on them and talking to them just like you did when you were there all by yourself cleaning. Still show up at the door and, you know, to check on them. Hey, how's your cleans? How are things going? Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or just call and talk. I've got clients I just pick up the phone and just talk to just because. And they appreciate that. So a lot of our clients we have had consistently for the entire six and a half years we've been in business because of that relationship foundation that I created in the very beginning.
Gosh, so that's awesome. If you just take the math, by the way, if I don't know what your average client is, but basically in the residential side, it's usually around $250 a month, which is $3,000 a year. If you've got customers that have been with you for 6.5 years, that's $20,000 relationship. We don't notice that when we charge them $250 a month or $220 or whatever the thing is. That's awesome that you've got customers that have spent over $20,000 with you. All right, question number 2.
Yeah, David go ahead. Reminds me.
Yeah,
I was going to say David reminds me of that because he's an accountant, so he had to leave his business to do this.
David, your husband / partner?
Yes, he is.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool. Just want to be clear.
I couldn't have done it without him.
Who this random David guy that just showed up is. Okay. Question number 2. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
I guess I could call it the WBS, the warm body syndrome.
I like that.
Definitely the biggest one. Just being exhausted and just going on the first interview and just saying, okay, you got the job right then and there, not even talking about it. And we go home and we're just like, oh, I hope we made the right decision. And it was not. So definitely don't get the warm body syndrome. And you get that.
Absolutely need to have, the only way to solve that is to have a system for attracting more quality employees than you can handle. Right. That's the only way to fix it. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There's a ton of tools for that. All right. Last question. What's one idea, business or personal, but just something easy to implement that Cleaning Nation could put into practice right away to make their business or their lives just a little better?
Don't ever give up. No matter what happens, don't let the naysayers, oh, go get a real job. You have a real job. You are out there helping people. That's why I started this. I went from a school nurse to cleaning houses to building my business to what it is today. We have tremendously grown because I did not listen to other people when they said, go get a real job. Go, you know, this is too hard. You can't handle it. We never gave up. No matter what happened, we just kept going and we kept serving our clients and we kept growing and getting new clients and kept serving them. And we're going to continue to go further in with that and learn from these podcasts and other people and soak as much information up as possible. Just don't give up. Don't listen to the naysayers. Let them give you that fuel you need to keep going.
If I had to bet, and I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would place money on the fact that 80 to 100% of the people that told you to get a quote unquote real job either didn't have a job or hated their real job that they had and were miserable seeing that you might have a way out that would make them shine a light on their lie that they've told themselves of, well, I hate my job, but you know, there's no other way to do it. And you succeeding threatens that. So thank you for sharing that perspective. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of our community. I love your passion. I love your vibe. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Sarah's show notes page and everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.